Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's the opening theme, and you're probably thinking, well, wait a minute, guys, it's not Wednesday. No, we moved it up due to travel, things with Danielle. We have moved up the Moving the Chains podcast to today, and it's 8:30 a.m. on the West Coast with the Denver omelet, country potatoes, sourdough toast minus the butter, 11:30 as we get ready for lunch in Charlotte. Yours truly, Mark Mancini out here, my sidekick in Straw That Serves a Drink, Danielle out there in Charlotte, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, Danielle the Threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, there's a lot to talk about as we start the 2023 season.
Thanks, Mark, and thank you everybody for kind of chiming in early. Yes, I'm traveling, so we had to move things around, but everybody can get a hold of me through Instagram at Birth of the Fae, and you can let me know what you think and what your predictions are for the upcoming season. As we know, this week was the last of the preseason, so let's get into the scores. Kansas City Chiefs, 33. Cleveland Browns, 32. Who would have thought that game would have been close, especially because Mahomes, you know, just not playing every preseason game. Cardinals, 18. Vikings, 17. Once again, a little bit of a shocker on that one. Green Bay Packers, 19. Seattle Seahawks, 15. Buffalo Bills, 24. Chicago Bears, 21. Washington Commanders, probably going to be the Redskins again, 21. Cincinnati Bengals, 19. New York Jets, 32. Big Blue Giants, 24. Jacksonville Jaguars, this one has an asterisk, guys, 31. Miami Dolphins, 18. This game was called early due to an injury. We'll get into that a little bit later. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 26. Baltimore Ravens, 20. Looks like once you beat the Baltimore Ravens once, the rest of the preseason slides. Dallas Cowboys, 31. Las Vegas Raiders, 16. And here was the big one. Denver Broncos, 41. Los Angeles Rams, 0. Once again, asterisk on this one, Russell Wilson didn't play. So let's not get too excited about anything on that one because he didn't play. So there we go with that. We also had Houston Texans, 17. Saints, 13. There was a lot on that game, too. C.J. Stroud obviously won the QB1. Not that there was much. I think we all knew he was going to get it, but it was officially he was officially named the starting quarterback on that one. So, you know, we had some things going on, some major things going on. In regards to the Dolphin game, with 8 minutes 32 seconds remaining, the game was called due to a major injury. But I don't know. This is the second time the cart was pulled out and a preseason game was suspended due to injuries. The first one was the Patriots-Packers game, and that one was called due to a head neck. This one, unfortunately, was the same thing. Miami Dolphins wide receiver Daywood Davis was immobilized and carted off following a collision in the fourth quarter with Saturday's game, which, like I said, it was called at with 8 minutes and 32 seconds remaining in the fourth. Davis was conscious and had movement, but he still needed to be taken for further evaluation. He was released on Sunday. So it was then decided that, you know, they shouldn't play anymore. Right, you know, right call. But I think it's a little scary that we've now had two situations. And I've seen the cart come out. I don't know about you, Mark. Cart seems to be coming out a lot lately, not just for the head neck thing. But even on the Giants game, the cart came out. One of the linebackers, I mean, his knee, somebody rolled over it. I saw the knee go up. It was bent at like this weird angle. He was crying as they took him off. His season's over. But the cart seems to be coming out a lot, and it goes back to what we've been arguing with enough with the preseason. You know, these games don't need to be played like this. These guys are getting season-ending injuries now, now more than ever. Don't know why we're seeing it so much in particular this season, this preseason, but I know for the Giants-Jets games, the Giants had five major injuries. We had concussion, knee, hamstring. I think we had a dislocated shoulder as well. But there were five, like, big injuries within the first half where it was just done. And so I had a lot of people asking me, like, Daniel Jones isn't playing. Saquon hasn't played at all. And at first I was a little annoyed because I'm like, I want to see the first team. You don't want to see my first stringers out there. I don't blame them now. I don't blame them for sitting Jones. I don't blame them for sitting Saquon or Darren Waller, who's a little bit of a China doll at times. I don't blame them for sitting them. Not when I'm seeing this many injuries in the car coming out. I feel like these guys are never going to get to prime time because look what's happening in the preseason.
Well, we've talked about this till a horse has died and then we're kicking the carcass into the coffin. But, you know, I've said this before. I just don't understand the NFL, what the hell they're thinking. I mean, you know, you see all these injuries. Your season's done in some of these cities with injuries. So, you know, Roger Goodell has to do something here. He's got to do something. You know, it's not fair for season ticket holders to pay big money to see their team, and then a couple of their star players are wiped out. And, you know, now we go into a season, and we have a lot of what-ifs, question marks, and stuff like that. For something this big and conglomerate, you need to do all your cuts in camp. I don't understand that. You're not going to get that physical thing. And then if somebody drops in the first or second week of the season, then, okay, everybody can understand it. But to have this happen in the preseason, it's a complete travesty. It's a joke. Why are we subjecting ourselves to this? You don't see this in baseball. You really don't. And because they hold out all the starters and everything, and, you know, then the, you know, it's ludicrous to think that the NFL keeps going on with this. If you're going to have 17 regular season games and you're going to have three preseason, let's get rid of the preseason, okay? If nobody cares about the preseason, then let's get rid of it, and then let's get into the regular season, make all your cuts in camp. What seems to be the problem? What is the difference of making cuts in camp and having preseason games? Can anybody tell me that? I don't understand, Danielle.
I find it funny that, you know, when everybody loses in the preseason or something goes on, everybody goes, ah, it's the preseason, who cares? But then when they're winning, it's like, oh, it's the preseason. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny that, you know, when you're losing, it's just like, ah, it's the preseason, nobody cares. But then when you go in with momentum, it's like, no, it's the preseason. Like, this is good. So I just don't care anymore. I just think for somebody to lose their entire season due to a preseason injury and be out, I don't see the point anymore. And I get it, the pads, the speed, and I've had people tell me, well, you don't understand once you put the pads on, you know, the speed changes, they need to get their conditioning up. You can get conditioning up in other ways. Trust me.
Sure.
Trust me as an
athlete. Not only that,
you
brought up the Houston, and everybody's talking about C.J. Stroud. I can care less about C.J. Stroud. I think the running backs there are leading the way. And when you look at a Damian Pierce, a Devin Singletary, and a Mike Boone, I think that their strength is going to be the running attack there. Who cares about C.J. Stroud? I've seen these Ohio State quarterbacks. He's not going to be the guy that leads the Houston Texans to wins. It's going to be their running back by committee there. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be running backs are what's going to do it. C.J. Stroud, okay, like let's see how you do. I'm kind of, you know, I got a shoulder shrug on that one. But I think, you know, Mike Boone is where it's going to be. He seemed to be taking most of the weight and the workload.
Right.
Devin Singletary always got something going on. But, you know, Damian Pierce was in there. It's going to be the running backs. That's going to be the star. They're going to turn it into a running offense, which they have to. You know, C.J. Stroud has to get caught up on things. But I'm not saying that I'm looking at that offense and going, wow, that's going to be electric. That's not what I'm looking at. I think it'll be interesting, but, you know, what else do I want? The thing that I was most interested in with that game was looking at Jimmy Graham considering what he had going on. You know, he's coming off the seizure and everything else like that. I was kind of surprised he was even playing. And let's not forget, I mean, we haven't seen him even play in a regular season game for the Saints since 2014. And he kind of came back after everything he's been through in the last week. And he looked like he hadn't missed a beat. So I thought that was more impressive than anything that was going on with the Texans. I was more impressed with the Saints and just what they're trying to put together. I thought that was kind of where it was going. I thought, you know, Jameis Winston looks like a solid backup for Derek Carr. So I think all the pieces for the Saints are there. I still think even, you know, with the whipping that the Steelers gave Atlanta, and they gave them a whipping, let's not, like, mix that up. The Steelers will be dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Look out. The Steelers are not messing around. I still think it's Atlanta's division to win or lose. I think the Saints are going to be right on their tail, but Atlanta could, if they stay healthy, Atlanta's really got that division, and they could make it theirs. The Steelers, though, wow, Mark. I was watching that game, and I'm like, what? They were just running up and down that field like it was nothing. The Steelers fans should be very, very excited with what they've got coming up.
Well, there's a lot of depth there now. They went 8-2 without T.J. Watt. I know their starters are playing in the first series. Atlanta threw, I think, their third and fourth lines at them. But who cares, man? It doesn't matter because the Steelers, they look like they're ready. And I'll tell you right now, San Francisco, they let Trey Lance go to Dallas. They got Darnold there. They got Brock Purdy. But San Francisco's going to have problems in Pittsburgh. I know the Steelers, when the season always starts, when you get these West teams coming in the first couple games, I saw it a couple years ago. I think the Raiders came in there and kind of pulled a surprise on them. But I just think this is a different Steeler team you're facing. I want to touch on Jimmy Graham. Boy, he didn't miss a beat, man. This guy is one of the best tight ends in football and making the catches yesterday and everything. I am so surprised somebody didn't open up their wagon train and get this guy where he went back to the Saints because, man, oh, man, can you imagine somebody like the Eagles or maybe the Cowboys or somebody that wanted a guy like this? Unbelievable. I would have opened up the bank and gave this guy whatever he needed, even the Chiefs, to get another target from Mahomes there. Are you surprised that he went back to New Orleans?
No, I think this is where he always wanted to be. I'll be honest. I think I don't know if he would have, as great as it would have been to see Jimmy Graham and Mahomes together and all that, that would have been lovely. I think at the end of the day, this is where his heart was, and I think there's something to be said when your heart is in it. And this is what he wanted. So I'm not sure. It's kind of like the Gronk situation, you know, when he wants to go somewhere, like when he wanted to go back with the Bucks for a short amount of time just to be back with Brady, we saw what Gronk can do. So I think it's more about their heart and where they and who they'll play for. On that note, the rumor that Gronk is going to the Giants, Daboll has completely, you know, said, hey, that's not true. The comment Gronk made was that the only coach that could get him out of retirement right now is Brian Daboll because they did, you know, he was his you know, assistant coach at one time, his tight end coach and all this whole thing, and he wants to be paired with Darren Waller. He will not say Aaron Hernandez's name, but he just said, I know what it's like with another tight end and you can do great things. He was alluding to Aaron Hernandez, but as we all know, he won't say his name. But he said, I know what it's like to be with somebody, you know, who compliments my skills. And he gave this whole thing. But Daboll has said, you know, it's not happening. Now, would I love to see it? Hell yeah. Do I think Gronk still got something in the tank? He's Gronk. Of course he does. But he said, you know, Daboll, I don't think the Giants have the money. And I don't think he would tap that card unless he knew they were going deep into the playoffs. I think if, like, let's say next year, they were poised for a playoff run and they had all the parts, then I think he would go to Gronk and say, okay, like, how serious are you? And he would pull him in. But I think right now he knows that if they're lucky, they'll make the playoffs, and that's a lot of luck because he knows that the Eagles are going to run the NFC East, and something happens where, like, Jones, you know, makes it leaps and bounds this year, and they're like, okay, next season's our season, then I could see him tapping Gronk and saying, come here, like, let's talk. I think they want to see where Waller right. goes and things like that. But I don't put it out of completely out of the realm of possibility for Brian Daboll to take him up on that offer.
Well, let me get to one of these questions that are coming in. You bring up some great points. Barry from Louisville, Kentucky said, I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but the Tennessee Titans are going to unveil for two games this year, Houston Oilers outfits. And they're trying to push it on the road in Miami, but they don't think that's going to go down. Let me tell you something, Barry. I'm a firm believer. I remember the Houston Oilers. I remember the battles with the Steelers. And I didn't understand it. They probably have one of the worst outfits that I've seen, the Tennessee squad now. I don't know why they didn't keep the Houston Oilers, call them the Tennessee Oilers or something, and keep that love you blue type of outfit. But it's nice to see this, and you see this quite a bit now. A team will move into a city, drop everything off in that city, and not want to go back until the fan support overwhelms it and bombards it to the point, okay, we'll try this out. Well, they're going to try it out for two games. They're trying to put it on the road, but the Miami Dolphins are balking at it. I don't understand why. Why wouldn't, you know, somebody in Miami want to see that? You know, old school type of logo back on, but who knows? But your thoughts on this, and then I'll give my thoughts on it.
I don't have a problem with it. I think it's kind of nice. I think especially, you know, with McNair's history and stuff like that, legacy, I don't have a problem with it. Put it on. Like, I don't think it hurts anybody. Like, I have no issue with it. You know, if you want to wear the Oilers, go for it. Like, if it's a road game, I think they should do it at home personally, but you want to do a road game with it, go right ahead. I don't mind the throwback uniforms. I kind of like them. It's no issue with me. I think it's a nice little nod to history. So, yeah, like, and I don't know why Miami would care. Like, it doesn't affect them at all. What, you know, you want to do it, unless Miami's just that worried that it's going to take the gleam off of them. I don't know, but I like the little retro throwback like moves that they do. To me, it's another money grab because, of course, you know, they're going to sell those jerseys for a short amount of time. They're going to mark up the price, blah, blah, blah. But sure, why not? I don't know. To me, it's like no skin off.
You bring up a great – see, here's the thing. And I know the Chargers out here have done it. They've kind of kept that powder blue type of thing or – you know, on their beanies and stuff. And I just don't understand teams that leave. You try to erase tradition. And we've talked about the Redskins last week. I don't understand why we're not wearing, you know, the logo of the Redskins, you know, for their home games or anything. You know, It's been tradition for a long time, and people want to see it. I know we had the George Floyd thing, and I understand all that, but why are we racing tradition? And that's what I don't understand when you look at the Oilers, when you look at some of these teams. And then to have the Dolphins balk with this team coming on the road, I'm saying to myself, does it really make a difference what you're tackling? It doesn't make sense. So what? It's the Titans that... Is it going to screw up your radio broadcast? Somebody going to call them the Oilers? I mean, I don't understand what the Dolphins are balking at. You know,
I don't.
And
I don't have a problem.
It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't when you look at it. And you know, when you look at the Dolphins in general, this is a team that has a proud tradition that turns around and changes their helmet from the. The logo that was a really good logo with the dolphin, and then they made a suntan version of the dolphin. You're right. It's a money grab. It's a money grab all the way around because they're trying to change up history And people are buying that. It'd be like the Yankees sitting here trying to change the Yankee logo. I mean, you just don't do it. There's things you don't mess with. Packers, Steelers, stuff like that. As we get this show into about 10 minutes, right, and some change, give me your teams in the NFC that are coming to the playoffs. They're going to the playoffs. And we'll kind of break it down, and then next week we'll get into the AFC. But give me your NFC teams that are gonna make the playoffs. Give me a little in-depth why, and then who could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
I think, obviously, we know the Eagles are going to the playoffs, as much as I can say it. The Eagles are going. I think the Falcons can still be a wild card, and I think between the Falcons and the Saints is a bit of a toss-up on that one. And it's going to really, on that one, it's going to come down to who stays healthy. That's really where it's going to come down to. For the South, it's definitely down to health, I think, on that. As for the Seahawks and the 49ers, I'm really torn on. Here's why. I have not seen enough. I know everybody loves the 49ers defense. Look, guys, I get it. The defense is amazing. I am not seeing anything out of that offense. I think, here's my thoughts. There's tape on Brock Purdy. He is no longer Mr. Irrelevant now. Before then, there was no tape on him. Everybody was looking around like, who the heck is this kid? There's tape now. We know what he can do. Is there enough weapons around him to support him? And now there's no newness on him. The shine has been knocked off. I don't know if there's really enough with the 49ers to carry them in the West. I don't know. The Seahawks seem to have been doing everything right. I get it that the Green Bay Packers beat them this weekend and whatever, but I think the Packers, it's a little bit of luck with the Packers. I just don't think they're going to do it. So I'm tossed on the Seahawks and the 49ers right now. I'm being totally honest with you, Mark. I'm really not sure where that's going to go. So I think the Seahawks edge out the 49ers right now. The 49ers could be in there, but I think that's going to be super, super close. I like what I'm seeing from the Bears. The Bears are surprising me right now in the North, more so than the Vikings. Much more so than the Vikings. The Bears look better. Right now, I'm not seeing enough out of the Vikings. And the shocker, I think, could be, I think the Lions are playing everything close to the vest. Everybody's like, I'm not seeing enough out of the Lions in preseason. I would not count the Lions out right now. I think Campbell is playing everything very close to the vest. I think he is not showing everything he can do right now in the preseason. I think he's doing that on purpose. I think it's going to be a fight between the Bears and the Lions in the North. That's where it's going to be right now. So I haven't seen enough in the preseason to make very clear predictions. The only thing I can tell you, it's going to be Philly for the NFC East. In the South, it's a toss-up between the Saints and the Falcons. The West, I think the Seahawks edge out the 49ers. And it's going to – I think the Lions – and the Bears are going to be what we see in the North. What about you?
Well, you bring up – I'm going to take it right from the start in all the divisions. I think the Eagles okay. could repeat, mm-hmm. winning the NFC East, and it's the first time in years. Probably have to go back to the 2004-2005 season. So I'll give the Eagles that. As I go to the other divisions – I've got the Vikings winning the North. I think as long as Cousins okay. is there, I'm sticking on the Vikings. Seattle's okay. going to win the other one because I don't think anybody's going to give them a run. 49ers have mm-hmm. lost a lot of depth, and they're trying to swallow what they did a bad thing by drafting Trey Lance and then shipping him out now. So they're eating that thing. So I like the Seahawks there. And the fourth team, I like Atlanta. So there's my division winners. The Eagles, Vikings,
okay,
Seahawks, and Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically sticking on birds in the division. Now, my three teams that are coming in, out of the playoffs, I'm going with the Redskins. I think the Redskins with Howell there. I like the makeup. I like Eric Bieniemy. So we're bringing him
like
in as an offensive coordinator. Yep. I like what the Redskins are going to do.
I think he's going to wind up being the coach next year.
Yeah, but what he's going to do is he's going to open up that offense. And what I've seen this year is that the Redskins aren't one-dimensional. They're opening up the offense, you know, and you're right. Ron Rivera will probably be blown out. But they'll win despite Ron Rivera. So, you know, we saw that with the Ravens winning the Super Bowl when their quarterback, they won in spite of years ago. I can't think of his name now. I got a brain fart, but I like the Redskins. Huh?
When Flacco won it?
No, not Flacco. The other quarterback won it. There was another guy that won it there. Yeah.
But do you think, if Rivera doesn't do right, do you think we could see Rivera gone mid-season? Do you think?
Well, I could see Rivera gone mid-season. Tight. Yeah. I think you're right.
Okay.
I think we might see him go mid-season. So I got the Redskins. Now, as they go down the thing, I don't have the Lions. I think the Lions are mirage, so I'm not giving the Lions a nod. I'm not giving anybody in the NFC West any credit there. I'm going to the South, and I think you're going to see the other two teams come out and represent the playoffs. I like the Saints, and I like the Buccaneers. So I like Carr, and I like Mayfield there. So now you've got the four division winners I picked, and then I've got the Redskins, Saints, and Buccaneers. I don't have the Giants. I don't have the Cowboys. I don't have the Lions. I don't have the 49ers. And people are going, wait a minute, what are you drinking? I'm not drinking nothing. You know, it's just basically this is where I see it because I don't see these teams doing anything. So that's where I'm going to go on that. Now, to represent the NFC in the championship, it could be the Eagles. You know, the Redskins can pull something. The Falcons can do something. I don't know. Maybe the Vikings come back with Cousins. I'm going to throw it out there. I think more or less I'm going to go with the Saints maybe to get to the Super Bowl. I don't know why. I just think it's a different vibe there in New Orleans. I think their defense is tougher. I'm going to go with the Saints.
I think – I agree. Look, I think – that the Eagles are strong, going to remain healthy, but that defense, they've shored it up. They've shored up the O-line again. They've made all the right moves, even with the coaching staff changes. I think the Eagles have done it right. They look dangerous. They look like they haven't missed a beat. I think the Saints are the Saints and the Falcons for me on who's going to take the South. I don't think the Buccaneers have done enough. I think they're still rebuilding, and I think Mayfield has a tendency to get the yips. So I'm not 100% sold on that, and I don't think they did enough in the running situation to help him out. Seahawks will make a decent run, but, you know, as for the North, I still think the Bears could pull something off. Fields, he's looking good right now. Now, could he, you know, crap the bed? 100%. It's what the Bears do, but the defense is looking really good. They're doing really well on the run defense. So I think the Bears should be looked at, and I still think the Lions have got something in the tank. I'm just – Campbell's got something up his sleeve. The way he's calling right now, I would not – I think the Lions could wind up in the wild card. They don't take it, they're going to be in the wild card. I think there's just – it's time for the Lions, and I've got a feeling that this is it. The Giants, look, I want to tell you they're going to make the playoffs, but I'm not seeing enough right now. But I also haven't seen them. I've seen one set of downs with the first string. That's all I've seen. So I can't make an assessment on the Giants. As for who's going, yeah, I think if the Eagles stay healthy, I think the Eagles are going to repeat, at least in the NFC Championship. I think they're going to be one of the teams in there.
Okay, as we wind this thing down, 20 seconds. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you till we reconvene next Wednesday.
You can see me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. And if you are in the Austin area and you want to check out the convention center, I'll be at GalaxyCon next weekend, September 1st through the 3rd. It's a comic book convention. Stop in. I will be at the pop-up bookshop, and we can definitely talk football.
That's Daniel Orsino in Charlotte. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Wednesday on a regular scheduled time, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. Have a blessed and safe Labor Day weekend, guys, and thanks for tuning in.